Dearly beloved in Christ, first off, I would like to wish all the mothers a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. And I will have a section in today's sermon on motherhood. But first, I would like to say a few words about the saints of the day. Today we celebrate the feast of Saints Philip and James, who were two of the apostles of Christ and martyrs for the faith. Jesus handpicked the 12 apostles with care, knowing what the fate of each one would be as he went along and saw each one for the first time. What a memorable moment in the lives of the apostles this must have been. The moment they were chosen to be the nucleus of the Christian faith in the New Testament, to look back upon that moment when they first laid eyes on the man who would prove beyond doubt to them that he truly was the Messiah. They were the first 12 captains in the army of Christ, and yet they were but simple men. They did not have great wealth or talents. They were ordinary to the eyes of men, but only God knew what they would become. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 16. In particular, Saint Philip was said to possess a strong faith. To quote a certain author, "His faith was prompt, simple, and lively. He recognized Jesus as the Messiah, believed him, answered his call, and very soon brought him a new convert whose name was Nathanael. The next day he was about to leave for Galilee, he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the town of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' And Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, 'Behold, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Whence knowest thou me?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.' And Nathanael answered him and said, 'Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.'" From John chapter 1, verses 43 to 49. We gather from this excerpt of the New Testament that Saint Philip the Apostle was most eager to accept the words of Christ with faith, to follow him and bring others to the long foretold Messiah spoken of by the prophets and written of in the scriptures. As for Saint James, he was known for his wisdom and holiness. The author already quoted says, "A near relative of our divine Lord, he was like to him in appearance, but more so by his innocence and holiness. His purity was perfect, his mortification extreme, and his prayers continuous. As first bishop of Jerusalem, he governed wisely for 30 years. At the age of 96, he was stoned for his loyalty to Christ. He was cast from the pinnacle of the temple, and with both legs broken, he died asking for God to have mercy on those who had attacked him." In his epistle, he exhorts us to esteem suffering, to despise worldly goods, to have mortified tongues, and a practical faith proved by good works. And of course, he is well known for the sentence in Scripture that reads, "Faith without works is dead," something Luther did not like very much, as it didn't support his new religion. Luther called the book of James an epistle of straw, meaning to imply that it was full of worthless things and thus could be thrown out. But his motive was to ease his own guilty conscience and remove any contrary voices to the religion that he was creating. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26. We ought to thank God for having given us such wonderful apostles and saints to imitate. One way we can show that appreciation is by learning about their lives, filled with good works and tremendous faith. Read about the lives of the saints, and you will become inspired to follow in their footsteps. As for the mothers, again, a very blessed Mother's Day to you. Of course, Mother's Day is not a day instituted by the church, but I think we can all recognize how fitting it is to have a day on which we honor motherhood and those mothers who pour so much loving care into the upbringing of their children, and how fitting it is that it should be held in May, the month dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, our spiritual mother. Now, more than ever, we need pious and loving mothers to stand strong against the machinations of the world with all diligence and wisdom. But obviously, it's not just up to the mother of the family. In fact, as we have seen from the sad results of a broken-up family, the ultimate strength of the family is in its unity. Every member has a part to play in the success of the young, blossoming family unit. But the parents set the tone. They are responsible for the atmosphere of the home. And in many cases, the mother, by her prayer and good example, leads the family in their effort to establish this atmosphere of piety. She it is that prepares them for the most important graces received in the church. And it is an extremely important point to remember that growing in virtue, knowledge, and love of the faith, praying with fervor, are not just for the times that we are physically at church. We must bring home these good works and a strong faith. We must preserve the atmosphere of quiet sanctity in the house, like the most holy union we would have seen in the house of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Casti Connubii, says, "Quite fittingly, therefore, and quite in accordance with the defined norm of Christian sentiment, do those pastors of souls act who, to prevent married couples from failing in the observance of God's law, urge them to perform their duty and exercise their religion so that they should give themselves to God, continually ask his divine assistance, frequent the sacraments, and always nourish and preserve a loyal and thoroughly sincere devotion to God." Surely the words also apply to young, surely these words also apply to young folks looking forward to marriage. They should seek to appreciate to the full the help the church can give them in the tasks that lie ahead in their future married life. However, they must not look upon religion merely as a matter of their parish church and the ministrations of their pastors. On the contrary, they must look upon it also as a matter of the home. Indeed, they must aim to make their homes, at least in some measure, replicas of their parish church. They must seek, in the words of St. John Chrysostom, to make them churches in miniature. And we can accomplish this by prayer, not just by vocally praying, but the spirit of prayer, by which we maintain a prayerful attitude throughout the day, thanking God for the joys and the crosses that come our way. Likewise, the pious use of sacramentals is a powerful help in not only stirring up devotion and bringing to mind the ultimate mission we have here on earth, which is the love of God and salvation of our souls, but also in warding off the spirit of the world and the attacks of the devil. We use blessed palms, blessed chalk, holy water, blessed holy pictures, crucifixes, and the blessing of homes, which has been done recently in many homes and may soon be done in others. The point is, the home is our sanctuary from the attack of the world. Who we are as individuals has a lot to do with the upbringing we've had in our homes and the influence of our parents, though it may be only a subconscious influence. Parents have a great responsibility toward their children and each other. Unity and fidelity are the cornerstones of a strong and healthy family. But it has been said that the family who prays together stays together. I believe this to be largely true. So let us remember to invoke the saints and learn of their lives for the good example they give us. Let us kindle faith and pair it with necessary good works. And let us not forget to pray the rosary every day, be we single or married, remembering that we are the spiritual family of Mary, who is our spiritual mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.